Hello, everyone. We welcome you this morning to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. It's Sunday, October 6th, 2019. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we welcome you all. We'll start this morning with our morning prayer.
From page 61 of Divinity Course and General Collectania, the Blue Book. Oh, keep me ever seeing thee, and seeing as thou seest, my life, my joy, my all. Oh, that an influx of divine light and glory may enter each and every one of our hearts, and that you be endued anew with power from on high. God, forgive me for having any doubt, fear, or lack of faith that all things are not possible with thee. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful, thank you. Okay, and our watching point today, Linda?
Watch number 493. Watch that you realize that everything you declare about air, what its claims are, how to meet it, and the fact that it is an illusion, is itself unreal. Our handling of air is like removing paint with paint remover. When the job is done, you discard both the paint and the remover, leaving the bare wood. Mrs. Eddy once said, quote, "We cannot talk aloud Christian Science nor spiritually, for talk is material," end quote. In like manner, everything we say and think in regard to air is material, not spiritual. It is a temporary necessity, but only the facts of good are eternal realities.
Thank you. Any comments on that?
Well, I know I've been learning this whole time that there's really a subtle distinction between the two ways, you know, taking it too lightly or taking it as too much. And it seems like, you know, once in a while I got to be reminded it's unreal, and once in a while I got to be reminded to keep fighting it. So.
It's good. You walk a line there. Anybody else? Well, once you understand it's a dream, and that's what this lesson is about, a dream, you know, the whole thing, everything, it wasn't the truth. And you awake to that understanding. It's not like you have to go back into the dream and clean things up.
But in order to awake to the understanding, you have to first recognize it's a dream. And be aware of it. Be alert to it. That's the whole point of being alert to it. Because otherwise, if you're not alert to it, you are in the dream.
Any questions about that one?
I like, too, that you have to strip it to nothing. And you get rid of it all. Not that it happened and it's you made it better. Or it was ever real. You have to just discard the whole thing.
Very good. Thank you. And you have to be very wise in this. You can't just say the words. You've got to know it and live it and do it. Otherwise, it is extremely, extremely damaging. You just go around, oh, it's not real, not true. I had a phone call this week along those lines. Someone who had been told he'd had a very bad injury in school and was told it was a Christian Science school, high school, so-called. Was told you've been unconscious for 20 minutes, told everything's fine, get up, you're fine, nothing happened. Well, he ended up having a lot of difficulties and ended up hating Mrs. Eddy and Christian Science.
For 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And then 4 months ago, he found our church and began listening. And he said everything's changed. That he has a love for Mrs. Eddy, a love for Christian Science. He understands now it was not Christian Science or Mrs. Eddy. It was the wrong application of it, to say the least. And also his body is healing. Because once you touch the hem of truth's garment and you hear this truth, it heals. It's no person that does it, but it's God. And your snarls begin to become unwound, which is what he needed. And anyway, his gratitude was just abundant and overwhelming. It was hard for me not to hold back tears in listening to his story. So we are very wise about what we say and how we say it and who we say it to. And compassion is always in love. Pitiful patience with his fears, as Mrs. Eddy says. And she says this over and over and over. She warned you about this nothing ails you kind of talk. So this person said he was going to write up his story, but he hasn't yet. But anyway, I'm so grateful for those who find us and are finding this truth that we've been given. Okay, the subject today, unreality, Ephesians. Jeffrey, you want to read the golden text?
Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Thank you. Okay, Shardy and Linda both wrote about this on our forum. Shardy?
Yes.
Speak up, okay.
It meant a lot to me, and I said awake. I got it right from that golden text, and then I thought about Mary and Martha. They loved Jesus so much, but they didn't quite get what he was saying. And then he said twice in the lesson that he groaned within himself, and then he went ahead. It didn't stop him. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. And so my prayer for not only myself, but for everyone is that we awake. Now, Linda, she got the definition of awake, so let her go.
Thank you. Well, before we get into that, I had someone, he listens to our roundtables. He's either from England or Scotland. Anyway, he had Skyped me about what did that mean that Jesus groaned within himself. What did that mean? You kind of touched on it.
Well, I think that, you know, he had been teaching them, and they loved him, and his disciples were there too. And they thought, even when he talked about that Lazarus was asleep, he said, no, he had to explain it to him then. And so, you know, it's a little sad. Here he's been teaching so long, but he that didn't stop him. He kept teaching and doing exactly what God wanted him to do.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah, right before he says that, he saw her weeping, that's Mary, and the Jews weeping. Everyone was crying, believing it's reality. You could understand why he would groan within himself.
And this was the end of his missionary. He had been teaching and healing for 3 years and explaining the principle behind the whole thing. And yet, you know, supposedly dear friends weren't getting it. So do we groan when our, you know, friends don't get it? Of course.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, you don't let it slow you down.
I think it's like, you know, having the scientific statement of being all your life and still, you know, not even catching a glimpse that there is unreality of this this whole story of material birth and all that, and then I'm sure Mrs. Eddy must have grown too from time to time.
Oh, definitely, sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, and, you know, we hear often, oh, I've been in science all my life, and still somehow we miss the clear distinction of first Genesis being so different from the second. So what's happening here? What's going on? I know myself, I used to think of, for years I was still in this matter thing, you know, declaring truth about my physical body. Ridiculous. So
yes,
disheartening, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing is there are many nuclear physicists, quantum physicists, who understand better than many Christian scientists the unreality of matter. Because they dissect it and dissect it and dissect it, and they find it's not anything like what anybody ever thought it really was. That it really is metaphysics, not physics, that is the basic building block of reality.
Yeah, someone called me this week, just inquiring about a book, or, you know, bookstore question. But anyway, she told me about a book I'd never heard of called The Comforter, Physics to Metaphysics. And it's a big 800-page book or three-volume book, but she goes through everything. And she also goes through all the chapters of the Bible. And it's someone who sees Mrs. Eddy for what she is and understands what's going on in the movement. So her name was something like Yvonne Ruse or something. Anyway, I think it's one we'll probably get for our library. Oh, you did? Good. Thank you. Thank you.
It's Richard Hall's books as well. He's a Christian scientist and is a physicist and has written books about this whole thing too.
Yes, thank you. We shouldn't be left in the dust on this. Awake thou that sleepest, you know, and be quick of understanding. Have this understanding of the nothingness of matter. And many people in science don't yet, but you've got to work at it. You've got to be reading and studying and imbibing Mrs. Eddy's teachings. And the lesson says, Mrs. Eddy says about Lazarus, that Jesus restored Lazarus by the understanding that Lazarus had never died, and not by an admission that his body had died and then lived again. This is what Sharon was talking about. Had Jesus believed that Lazarus had lived or died in his body, the master would have stood on the same plane of the belief as those who buried the body, and he could never have resuscitated it. So, and then to the Christian Science healer, sickness is a dream from which the patient needs to be awakened. And when you look at it that way, you have your dominion over it. If you believe it's a reality that you're battling against, then you've
already lost.
You've already lost. So, awake thou that sleepest. Okay, now Linda will give the definition of awake.
The definition from Webster's 1828 dictionary was awake: to bestir, revive, or rouse from a state of inaction, to be invigorated with new life as the mind wakes from stupidity, to rouse from spiritual sleep. And then they referred to a couple of biblical quotes: awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And they also added, awake to righteousness. And actually, I would like to add something, that awake to righteousness, because in the Christian Science movement, when I was under the Boston model, the incorrect teachings, they did refer a lot to the physics. And what I find so different here is you combine it with the moral, and that's lacking. And I want to mention it because it's still going today. There's a lot of talks, and there's a physicist that goes and talks about Christian Science and talks about these ideals, and they're wonderful, and you know, but it's very intellectual, and that was how I was taught in my class, and it was like I always was left feeling empty. That concept made sense to me, and I wanted, but somehow you guys have made it real. When I've come here, now I see the reality of what you're saying about metaphysics, but to me, it was the moral teaching behind it that gave it what it needed. I'm not sure I'm explaining it well, but I wanted to say it in case there's listeners who are seeing that discussion still about the physics. It's very different when it's here.
Good, because the physics touches upon the unreality of matter and the reality of spirit, but it misses all of the other synonyms of God. Mind, soul,
right.
Truth, love, and that's the biggest one that's missing, love.
I think that's because once they break apart the matter, it's still material energies that they think are there, those strong forces and weak forces and all that stuff. So it's not God that they're always seeing at the end of that. So.
Right.
And the real sense of love, I mean...
Yeah, the correct understanding of God.
Yeah, that God is all good. God does not know evil. I mean, that's huge.
Well, and if you leave out that moral sense, and we've heard this before, this ridiculous license for sin and everything else, well, matter's not real and sin's not real, therefore I can do anything I want and it's okay, which is a very, to me, stupid conclusion for anybody to reach, but I've heard it as a justification for leading an immoral life as a scientist. And that's why the moral factor is so important. And that's why, and I am so grateful for the Bible studies. And I thought Tom being very inspired to take Amos, who sounds like he's just a crazy prophet yelling at everybody. But when you get into what he's saying, it's very, very meaningful. And I'm looking forward to more of these types of Bible studies.
There's a lot more in Amos coming, so look forward to it. Coming up next Saturday.
Next Saturday, it's a reminder for you all to get out your Bibles and
yep. Join us next Saturday.
And join us next Saturday. Yep, Tom's on a roll here. He's gonna be
he's gonna open up the Bible.
He is, as other moderators have as well. And also, you know, the Ten Commandments. So important that we live this. It's not archaic. It's important for today and here and now. And then the other misconception I had with some of this is, well, if this is all a dream, well, who cares? Or, you know, what good is any of it? And that was an awful, awful thought. And I really thought that matter's not real. We're just in a dream. Well.
So don't take care of your body, you know.
Yeah, that extreme is.
Yeah. So, you know.
Or just nothing matters, you know. You have no purpose, nothing matters, it's all futile. So what is the real science teaching on that? Is this all just a bunch of nothing? We're just in a dream?
Well, the uselessness and dullness and stuff is the I looked up the definition of dead, and it has dullness, unemployed, uselessness. And that was what you were just talking about, was this lack of purpose and dullness.
Thank you. That's perfect.
That's when you find God.
Yeah.
And the purpose in life and the fullness.
And you wake up from that dream. That doesn't mean that you go somewhere else. We're still here, but you're awake. You have purpose. You have joy. You're alive in the Lord.
I think if you end up feeling like that, what you talked about, that man in the beginning, people telling him, oh, you got hurt, just shake it off. That's something that guys say to each other. So that's already a material teaching we know about, so that's obviously not the pathway to truth. Just like, you know, doing whatever you want. That's do what thou wilt. That's the Satanist creed, you know?
Thank you. Thank you.
All these things, when there's an analog in other obviously bad ways, that's not the path forward in Christian Science. So.
No. No. So knowing God is your life and being awake, give that definition of awake. Is that the one? Yeah.
To bestir, revive, or rouse from a state of inaction, to be invigorated with new life as the mind awakes from its stupidity, to rouse from spiritual sleep.
Thank you. And Betty, give the definition of dead. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was muted. Dullness. Impotent, uselessness, lack of purpose, lack of energy. There was a bunch of stuff.
So that's really good.
Yep.
And you see, you don't have to be dead to
really be dead.
To really be dead. And you see, all of this, there are phases to death. And when you get dull and inactive, I mean, that's the all that has to do with old age and just blah, 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 blah. And you're on your way, but you're already dead.
And it doesn't matter how old or young you are.
It doesn't matter. All those definitions. But awake to feel energized and have a purpose. And this is what the Christ came to do. Awake thou that sleepest. And arise from the dead, from this horrible sense of purpose. No purpose. And the Christ shall give you light. And in the lesson, the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. That's in the responsive reading. And you think of that and dwell on it, that God is the light. He enlightens you. And I love so much in the Proverbs where it says, citation 3 in the Bible, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp. Think of those three things. What three things is it doing for you?
Leading us.
Yep, leading us.
Oh, talking.
Keeping us. And talking with us. Telling us what to do.
Well, what else is there?
But it covers it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I was just so happified by that, thinking of that. So wherever you go, it's leading you. And you know, a lot of people, excuse me, who have sleep problems. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. When you're awake enough to hear the voice, it's talking to you. And again, the commandment is a lamp. It illuminates your way. Thank God for it. Excuse me. So, remember that. And this is, again, the moral sense of it, isn't it? Keep the commandments. Keep the laws. It's not going to work unless you do that. Then you're off in New Age and you're just, it's hocus pocus and all that kind of thing. Keep the commandments that your, hopefully your parents taught you. Some of you maybe didn't have parents that taught you, but you can learn them now.
Yep. And it's all in the Bible. I mean, that's why it's the chart of life. So, you know, read it, study it, join the Bible studies. It will illumine your life.
And then you realize, like me, all those situations you got yourself in before, this could really help. Could have prevented me from getting in there. So.
Well, that's just it. God is a God of love. He gave people, you know, instructions. He gave people commandments. He gave people experiences that they wrote down and are now part of the Bible. Because he loves us for our own good, that he gave what's in the Bible. And once you get a glimpse of the fact that you are God expressing himself, that you are his loved child, and then your only job here is to love him back and then love your neighbor as yourself in the same way that God loves us. Once you get that as your life purpose, everything makes sense. And you can never be without a purpose, a good purpose. And you can never be fulfilled any more than that if you fulfill that purpose. And that's what we're all finding.
So, and as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So in Christ, studying his precept, Sermon on the Mount, all that he's done, you will be made alive. Awake to righteousness and sin not. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Well, it's the Christ man we talk about, the Christ consciousness. And everyone can have this. It doesn't matter what your background is, what religion you were, whatever it was, this truth can awaken you and make you alive, which we love the definition of, and not dead, which we did not like the definition.
Nobody wants
that.
I love that about Christian Science, that it is for everyone. No other quote is like that. So.
It is for everyone, everywhere, no exceptions. And it finds people, and that's what we pray for, that it will find people that need it, and they will find us, or they will find whatever it is they need to awaken them. It was in the watch, was it one where it said it goes out to the whole world, we had this week. And to just keep knowing it is awakening people.
And it's never too late to come and learn.
It's never too late. And people that despair, oh, well, I found it so late. Well, that doesn't matter because we're dealing with eternity, okay? So whatever it was just a flash in the pan.
Nothing's ever too late.
Nothing's ever too late.
God never stops loving us. The truth never stops pursuing us. So it's going to happen sooner or later.
Hereafter.
Hereafter, yep. Sooner or later, one way or the other. So don't be discouraged. You think, oh gosh, you know, I'll have all these regrets. It's all right. At least you're knowing it now. Start now. The era would like you to feel discouraged so you don't start now. Start now changing it so you have no more regrets. Give your past to God and start fresh. So then the first citation in Science and Health, which I love, 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 what Florence wrote. Florence?
On the form, you mean? Okay, yeah. It says, God fashions all things after his own likeness. What a glorious health assurance statement. I should take this and sing in my heart that God fashioned all things, including me, in his own likeness. I should be consistently grateful for this and joyfully praise his holy name for this. Would such a mental altitude not prove this next citation, which is, when we wake to the truth of being, all disease, pain, weakness, weariness, sorrow, sin, death will be unknown, and the mortal dream will forever cease. I think it's just beautiful, that citation, yeah.
Another short article, you put that in the newsletter or something. So beautiful. Just work with that one statement, God fashions all things after his own likeness. What wouldn't that heal? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I love what Florence says. Take it in your heart and Sing it every day. You're fashioned after the likeness of God, just to understand that in a little teeny tiny degree. I was with someone this past few days who had been a very dear childhood friend, and she had attended this Sunday school. That's where we met, this one in Plainfield. And after been friends, she came into a series of very, very hard and difficult situations. Not, she was just a child. It had nothing to do with her. And I lost contact with her for quite some time. But in reconnecting with her and seeing really what a sweet person she is and how she held no resentment toward all the people who had wronged her as a child. And I was greatly impressed, admired it, and I asked her about it, and she said, well, it was what I learned in Sunday school here. She only attended for a short time, but those truths that she got as a 10-year-old, those truths set her course, stayed with her, set her course through a most difficult time. She could have been a bitter, miserable person. I mean, I couldn't even begin to explain or tell you what she went through, but she didn't. And she's not, and she holds no grudges. And she hasn't, since that time, my understanding is that she hasn't studied the textbook or anything. It was just the little grain of truth that she got here, not so little. So you don't ever underestimate the truth that you share with someone and what it can do to bless their lives forever and forever. And now, of course, you know, I get to spend a lot of time speaking to her about what's going on and what's happening in our church, and she was very interested. Her husband wanted a copy of Science and Health. So don't ever fail to share that truth. As we quote Linda all the time, always make it a Sunday school experience. And what are you doing, Linda, with your children, your grown children?
I once a week contact them and I talk to them about God in some way or another. It's different ways. Sometimes I'll share a testimony that was on our website or a little part of an article, or combine it with maybe something I heard at the round table. I'm trying to use little bits and pieces and open, just chip away and open these new, I thought, because I didn't do this.
No, she didn't. So it's never too late. I mean, these children are not little children. They're more grown children, right?
Yes, still, they are college age.
Yeah, college age. But she's still working with them, giving them this truth. You know, sometimes what you say at work in passing to somebody about God, some inspiration, and that's why God fashions all things after his own likeness. What problems are you having that this won't solve? Sick? Overweight? Underweight? Discouraged?
Unhappy? Lonely.
Immoral.
Immoral. Take it. And as Florence said, let it sing in your heart. Think about it. And it will be a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And then also know it to be true for all others. Everyone. And he says all things after his own likeness. All. Doesn't say some things. All things. So what do you see somewhere that's not in his likeness? Well, take it back to this and know that he, whatever it is, was fashioned in God's own likeness. And the other part of it is a bad dream. Don't get sucked into the dream, but help awaken the person or situation to the truth. So thank you very much, Florence, for that. And the other, and I mentioned it too, where Ray quotes from The Way in Prose Works, hold thy gaze to the light, and the iris of faith, more beautiful than the rainbow seen from my window, at the close of a balmy autumnal day will span thy heavens of thought. So that is so beautiful. And I do, if you've all ever seen an autumn sunset, they can be incredibly beautiful. And what I looked up iris, because only the only iris I knew is the flower iris, which I love. But
the eye. Oh. The eye.
Yes.
The iris opens up and lets in more light.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's also another word for a rainbow. More beautiful than the rainbow seen from my window at the close of the balmy autumnal day. So, the eye of faith, the eye that enlarges so you can see more of the faith, the rainbow of faith, all the spectrums, the colors of faith. Anyway, it's beautiful. This is Eddie spoke. She loved poetry, and goodness, the way she spoke was wonderful. Okay, and then Joanne wrote some very good ones too about a mortal may be weary or pained, enjoy or suffer according to the dream he entertains in sleep, science and health. And then when I read this, I asked myself, what dreams am I entertaining? Dream of age, thinking that aches and pains and decrepitude are in my body, my hips, knees, or joints, rather than in a dream of age. And then entertaining means to welcome in, host, a guest, amuse, captive audience. So think about it. Are you entertaining dreams? Inviting them in? We've talked about, yeah, you're inviting in Arrow. I'll sit and I'll talk to you for a while. Tell me how miserable I am. Tell me how sick I am. Tell me how depressed I am. I'll just sit and have tea with you and listen to it all.
And, what, and then it will stay. It won't go away.
Oh, it's having a wild time. It will. And all of us at this point should be what?
Standing porter at the door, not allow anything.
Be alert to it. Exactly.
Exactly what I was looking for. Standing porter at the door of thought. Don't allow it in. Replace it with the enduring, the good, and the true. And then keep distinctly in thought that man is the offspring of God, not of mind, that man is spiritual, not material, that soul is spirit outside of matter, never in it, never giving the body life and sensation. Again, science and health. And Joe looked up the word distinctly. And one of the definitions in the 1828 dictionary was without blending of one part with another. So how are we compromising? And she says, so I must not blend the truth that I am a child of God with the belief that I am a child of material parents. Nor blend the truth that I am spiritual with the belief that I am also material. Nor blend the truth that soul is spirit God with the belief that there is also a soul within my body. I am not two mans, a spiritual and a material, but only one, an offspring of God. So, I mean, and that's something we all can watch better. It's easy because we seem to live in this, quote, material world, but we don't. So you always don't blend it. You're not a child of material parents. You are the child of God. Claim that. Your inheritance is from Him.
And as the nuclear physicists now know, there's not a material anything anyway.
Yes. Yes. So, and let's see. Lawrence, did you write about that as well? Something about her? Well, I don't seem to have it. No. But anyway, no. Mm-mm. Okay, well, God is our Father, Mother, God, and it's very important. And I do love that idea of distinct. And also, if you have trouble, your vision's blurry, things like that, okay. Distinct, distinctly. How are you seeing distinctly? Or are you blurring everything? Compromising, mushing it all together? And then, what Parthens wrote, that wonderful strange story of how a Christian scientist cured a wounded man. And that Joseph Mann story, which most of you know, and also we do have his class notes, if anyone wants them.
They're right on the site.
They're on the book site. Mm-hmm. So does anyone want to tell me the story?
I can tell. I'll try to recall it.
Okay, just speak up.
He was accidentally shot by his brother-in-law, and they had the medical profession come in, and they declared it hopeless and fatal. And now I'm getting a little distracted on it. They said that he was not going to live, but he threw. Was it Houston?
No, it was a Christian Science practitioner said, can I come in and pray?
Yeah. And he did, and he was healed. He was fine.
Yes. And it said that the practitioner was for several years a sufferer from cancer in the stomach, which physicians failed to cure, and a Mrs. F.J. Stetson healed him in two treatments in Christian Science and gave him a course of instruction and bade him go into the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick. So, and here, you know, this was corroborated by the medical. There was no way he could have lived after this. I don't even think, that the bullet was ever even removed. And so it created quite a stir. How many Christian Science converts came, I'm not sure, but... But it was one of those wonderful healings. Awake thou that sleepest. That's what science is capable of.
I think I know that you're not blood, bones, tissues, because here the profuse bleeding, I mean, that would just give that medical verdict, really.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it said that the patient was unconscious and bleeding profusely.
Right.
And immediately when the practitioner entered the room, he sat up and he had no pain. And he was perfectly well after that. And even though he had lost a lot of blood, he was just a little bit pale, but perfectly well. I mean, how better can you explain that there is no matter?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it wasn't matter that fixed what appeared to be broken matter.
And that's why what Lawrence alluded to, the definition of man and recapitulation, man is not made up of what?
Blood, bones, tissues,
other material elements. It's a wonderful, wonderful definition of man to always go back to. And this is why, as much as possible, studying your anatomy is not really a great thing. I'm very glad that I'm totally ignorant about all that stuff. I don't know, and I do not want to know.
You don't need to know.
And I don't need to know. God is my life. All my organs work because of God. And that's all I need to know. It's enough.
And God is the physician.
And God is the great physician.
God does know.
Yes. And he created you. And when you have a problem, it would make sense that you would turn to him for healing. I can understand, but a lot of Christians who say that, and Elsie tells me in Alabama where she lives, there are all these medical centers and even though there are a huge amount of Christians, but they all think, well, God created the doctors and the drugs and the medical centers. So what do we say to that?
A lie.
No, it's not true.
Well,
if God needed drugs to heal people, Jesus would have used them. Uh-huh. The disciples would have used them.
You see, that's the answer. And that's what Mrs. Eddy says. And also, she never used them either.
Well, and in her early exploration of this revelation, she saw experiments of drugs. And she saw that the least amount of drugs had the best impact on patients when they were, and she realized, and then she realized that it's entirely the faith that does the healing, not the drug at all.
Faith in the drug. And a lot of people will say, well, how does this little pill know where to go and do all these things in your body? How does it know to do that? But you see, the more and more power we've given to the medical, materia medica, now look, we have this huge drug dependency in our nation. And the only answer is to go back to science. My old childhood friend and her husband, they were talking about this because, you get dependent on the drug. So, but I do not believe in bashing all medical science. I think there have been advancements. Some of them have been good. And there are many, many, many good doctors and nurses who are most devoted and kind and Christian. So.
And this really is people helping other people. And in Joseph Mann's teachings, it's in his class teachings that near the end of the second day of a teaching, he said that upon wakening from the death stupor, he said to himself, is this something I can learn and teach to others? I had paid the price of dying up to that point, and it is strange that I should live above the seductions of sense. I do not say that we will not be touched by sense on the way to soul. I saw through the bubble of sense sufficiently not to allow it to become valuable again in my estimation. That was something that at the end of that story said that Mrs. Eddy told him he had been thrown violently out of the house.
Thank you.
That is the realm of unreality, and don't go back in.
Thank you very much. Those are important points to that story. Thank you, Dale. Yes. And he had, just as she had when she was healed of that, they thought she was going to die, this great desire to help others. And that is why when you have a healing in science, and you just go on your merry way, and you have no desire to help others, no desire even to give a testimony, to share this truth, then you haven't gotten it, okay? And honestly, to some degree, or maybe to a large degree, that's what happened in the movement. They would have tremendous healings, and then nobody did anything with it. It should be a natural desire to want to share it. And all of you are practitioners. All of you are learning this truth, and all of you can go out and help others, and you should. We shouldn't just be dependent on a practitioner or on anything except God. So go into all the world and share the truth. Awake thou that sleepest. All right, Gary is going to end for us with a few things. Go ahead.
By Mrs. Eddy. The first one is from Voices of Spring. Midst the falling leaves of old-time faiths, above the frozen crust of creed and dogma, the divine mind force, filling all space and having all power, upheaves the earth. In sacred solitude, divine science evolved nature as thought, and thought as things. This supreme potential principle reigns in the realm of the real, and is God with us, the I Am. As mortals awake from their dream of material sensation, this adorable, all-inclusive God and all Earth's hieroglyphs of love are understood, and infinite mind is seen kindling the stars, rolling the worlds, reflecting all space and life, but not life in matter, wisely governing, informing the universe. This mind is truth, not laws of matter. Infinitely just, merciful, and wise, this mind is love, but not fallible love. O Christian Scientist, thou of the Church of the Newborn, awake to a higher and holier love for God and man. Put on the whole armor of truth. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, that ye may go to the bed of anguish and look upon this dream of life in matter, girt with a higher sense of omnipotence, and behold once again the power of divine life and love to heal and reinstate man in God's own image and likeness, having one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.